Hey, John. John. What are you... Are you typing? What are you doing? What are you typing?
Shh. I'm trying to concentrate, Drew. We're doing the podcast.
Wait. What do you mean? Yeah. Well, I came over to record. Why don't you have any of the equipment up?
No. You don't seem to understand. I'm doing the podcast the new way. It's no longer a podcast.
What's the new way?
It's a blog.
A weblog?
Yeah. It's great. I'll type out my thoughts on a topic, and then you type your thoughts on a topic.
How do I leave a comment?
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive, our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
I'm still, to this day, a little bit weirded out whenever I hear somebody older than me use the word blog.
Really?
Do you get that way? Do you feel...
In what capacity?
In any capacity.
Well, give me an example.
Like, so you're... Say you're out to lunch, right?
Okay.
And you're with... Let's say you're out to lunch with, like, family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And your aunt or your uncle...
Okay.
Asks you about like the rumor about Star Trek or the Star Wars. Let's go with that. Like,
the Star Wars.
Hey, Drew, did you hear about the casting rumors for the new Star Wars movies? I saw about them on a blog. Like, that just weirds me out. That just makes me nauseous.
Yeah, it doesn't weird me out.
Kind of weird. Well, no. And I also like I think. I sort of have the same problem with people who are younger than me.
Okay.
So like how if much I hear like
what's
like,
the, it,
like a teenager.
Okay.
Like what if a teenager say? Says something like,
so you're out to lunch with family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your nephew is like
yeah.
Did you see that stupid rumor about that dumb new Star Wars movie? I read it on a dumb blog.
Yeah, that's weird. That's so weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. I do not know
what's
why.
What's the acceptable age range?
Me. That's it. I'm
whatever
the only
age
one.
You are.
I'm the only one who can use the word blog.
So I can't
blog.
Even use it.
Well, I guess I'll for the purposes of this discussion, I guess I'll suspend my my embargo. My blog embargo.
All right.
On people.
I want to say that we're of the old school, we're OGs. We're OBs.
OBs.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like when blogging came about in the form closest to what it became eventually, I feel like you and I were there doing it.
I feel like we created it. I feel like we were part of that
we helped
that wave
it.
That helped define what it was going to be.
I'll go with that.
Like I remember my earliest contributions to the internet.
Yeah.
Like the earliest instances of me putting words on the internet that other people could read, you know, as opposed to like emailing. Like that was all stuff that ultimately is now like native blogging territory. But at the time, there wasn't anything. There wasn't an avenue for it, right?
Oh, what?
You just an avenue.
Yeah.
There was no medium that was
platform defined
as blogging. Oh, it was just like, here is the internet.
Yeah.
Here is a big canvas.
Do what you will.
Put things on it.
Yeah.
But you didn't have things compartmentalized in the way that they are now.
Right.
You know, there were no engines that you could just drop stuff into and it would conform it to this little pocket of goodness that is a blog post.
Mm.
You know, that didn't exist. We had to sort of create our own. We had to
format it.
yeah.
himself and write it.
We had to manually code line breaks and stuff. Yeah. We had to be like, HR, BR.
Why are you doing horizontal rules?
That because I'm providing breaks.
Between your posts.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Fair enough. I can remember my brother, I would go as far as to say was somewhat instrumental in the blogging age locally. 'Cause he wrote some software, some blogging software, and it was called Bloghorn.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, I think, on his own, founded a site called STL Bloggers.
I remember this. I remember you being affiliated with this.
Yeah. As much as I had a blog and I was listed under STL Bloggers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
which was accurate.
Yeah. And it was a community of St. Louis-based bloggers.
Yeah.
Right? And so they would have like meetups and stuff.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Even back then they had like blogger meetups? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Wow.
These are the pioneers, you know?
Right, yeah.
But I can remember going in and trying to design my blog to look the way I wanted it to look, you know? And I'm trying to remember what... So the software that my brother had wrote was a blog... was a blog writing... Sorry, now I'm all... Throne. The blog software that my brother had written.
Yeah.
I think it mainly, what it did for you was, it was a little, just write something up, hit publish, you know, and it posted it. But I don't know if it went beyond that in terms of like also being able to customize your site the way you want it to look.
Mm-hmm.
I customized mine just based on what I knew of HTML at the time, and then put his coding software in there, or had him set it up, and then I went in and retooled it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
so even back then, you were breaking molds.
Yeah.
You were breaking molds that hadn't yet even been built.
That's right.
You're a blogging hipster.
Hey. My first blog, I think it was called Drewtopia.
Yeah. I remember that.
.net.
Yeah, because .com was taken?
Yeah. The hell?
That's pretty awesome that you were you experienced domain blockage.
Oh, it's a common theme in my life because years and years later when I set up my now... current website Draw It Drew, one of the first I was trying to come up with an URL, right? And one of my ideas was the Drewseum. I thought that's pretty good
because yeah,
and it'll be a curation of my work, right?
Yeah.
And it was taken by a Drew Barrymore fan site.
I'm going there right now.
So
in
like,
the show notes goes the Drewseum.
I've struggled, you know, throughout my internet life to get the URL I want. We'll get into some more creative ones as we progress through time, but Drewtopia was the first one, and it, you know,
which is great. I mean, that's a hell of a start.
Yeah,
Drewtopia. That's
I think it's pretty
great,
good.
Yeah. Play on words.
I was huge. I loved it. I loved blogging at the time, you know, and I used it constantly. And just posted about it was just random stuff. Like I never had any, there was no agenda or like set narrative that I established at any point.
Right.
Like it was literally just stream of thought, which I'm not saying that to be like, ooh, I'm so different. That's what everyone did. Right.
Right.
But it's funny because now I think, you know, if blogging started today and it was me now thinking, oh, I'm going to set up a blog, I would spend weeks trying to figure out what's the purpose. Like, why am I doing this? How am I going to use it? What's the narrative? Like, you know, do I do What's this kind line? Of stuff here? No, I do that stuff over here, you know. And and since, like, blogging has become such a huge thing now, and there's so many different types and different niches and stuff, like, and also now so many different channels. It's like I try really hard to, if I utilize more than one channel, to be like, each one is a different, has a different use, you know. I'm not just blasting to all of them the same stuff. At least I try not to.
Right.
That's not totally true, though, now that I think about it. I must have gotten lazy. But I think you were doing it before I was, because you had your site, I think, long before...
Well, when did you start Drewtopia? Because I can remember exactly when I started Restless Youth.
Drewtopia would have been the very, like, 2001, I think.
Okay. So that's, yeah, I guess that makes sense then. I started, well, the very first thing I did online wasn't a blog. It was a slasher movie site. It was like a review site.
Yeah.
So that lasted off and on for a few years. And then...
I hope the next site is the one I want it to be.
It is. God, this sounds so nerdy. Sounds so bad. The internet literally, like, saved my life, I believe, or at least saved my sanity at a very, very challenging moment. So December 26th of 2000.
Oh, right. That's, you said you remember the day.
I remember the exact day. December 26th, 2000, the year 2000. Yeah. I went to work. After work, I met up with my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
And we broke up.
Oh,
she broke up with me. And I was floored. Like, I had not seen this coming at all. I
can't believe it.
Yeah. So.
I just feel like a... I feel so restless.
But I'm young. What do I do? I wish I could find a way to articulate what I'm feeling. I did not come out of that immediate experience thinking, like, oh, I need to go start a blog. But I did.
You didn't know the word yet.
No, it didn't exist. The next day, I was home, and I was still sort of like just in this weird space. I wasn't like depressed, but
I felt out of sorts. The 26th is a breakup.
Yeah.
27th.
December 27th.
Listless.
I don't know what to do with myself now.
Floating through the ether.
Yes. Or my basement.
What do I do?
I don't remember how I found it, but I found the site xentertainment.com.
You hadn't found it yet?
No.
Wow. I'm not saying that to be like, oh, what a loser.
You hadn't found it?
I assumed that you were like, day one, you knew about this site.
No. Like, it had been around probably a good year before I found it. So I stumbled across that, and...
maybe you're about to... go into what X Entertainment is, because
for those who don't know,
it sounds like a pornographic website.
Yeah, it was this guy Matt Caracappa, I think is his last name. Okay. I can never pronounce his last name. He wrote for a lot of wrestling sites initially. He was like a columnist for wrestling sites, and at one point he decided he wanted to do his own thing because he wanted to write about more than wrestling. He wanted to write about all sorts of, like, pop culture and stuff that he'd grown up with and stuff that he was interested in. And we happen to share a lot of interests. I think he's like a year older than I am, but we had pretty much the same exact interest. And that was readily apparent the minute I landed on this site. Like, somehow I found a link to a specific post that he had made about something like Thundercats or something.
Yeah.
But it was written, you know, from the perspective of a 20-year-old. So it was like... fairly vulgar and, you know, like just a lot of attitude and like these really funny thoughts about kids stuff we'd grown up with. And I'm scanning the list of all of his posts, and I want to read every single one of them. And so I do. I spent the entire day.
Wow.
I literally went backwards.
You're perfect timing.
Every day. Yeah, I had nothing to do. Like, suddenly, I am a giant blank slate. My schedule has nothing on it.
Through the ether of your basement, and suddenly a lighthouse.
There's a big bang.
A beam of light shoots out, and you're brought to shore.
Yeah. I was anchored. I found my anchor, and it was X Entertainment.
Finally, something for me. Something that speaks to me. You know, I never thought about this before, but X Entertainment is, you know, if it's, is it still around?
No, it's not.
I feel like if it were still around and we wanted to like be like, we need a sponsor for the Archive.
Oh,
X
yeah.
Entertainment would be the first place to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Matt actually, he just relaunched, or he started a new site last year called Dinosaur Dracula. Which is pretty great. I mean, it's basically X Entertainment, but it's like under a different name.
Well, we should send them a link.
Oh, hey.
Because I listen to our podcast. Like, remembering X Entertainment, you know, I had a similar like reaction when I went there. It was like, wow, all this stuff is like, stuff that I'm interested in or have thought about, or like I want to write like this. I want to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know? And
he literally, I think, probably launched at 1,000 blogs.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
He totally hit something. It's actually kind of unfortunate that he, I don't think he has a lot of like public credit for that, you know?
Before that, everything was very precious. You know, you only have this much space on a page, you have, you know, this many magazines come out in a year, et cetera, et cetera. We can't waste time on stuff unless it's really exactly what it needs to be. And you know, this the for every article that does get printed, thousands don't, right?
Yeah,
because there's just not space or there's no time,
can't afford to.
And I think, you know, something that he did is, you know, really like topics that probably wouldn't have been given the thought or given time or even space to exist anywhere.
Yeah,
because the internet and digital journalism, I guess, is sort of an infinite canvas. There's no need to worry, you know.
Yeah, he didn't have to self-edit.
Like, I can write an article about Snarf's motivations in the episode of Thundercats, where he's the one who has to save the Thundercat, right?
Like, yeah.
That can be an article. You know, and I'm not wasting paper. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I think that was kind of a turning point.
Absolutely.
When people saw that, oh, this is how I can use this.
Yeah.
To really focus in on like a niche kind of topic.
And it appealed. I think I don't know if everybody. I perceive this as something that's like unique to us, or it's maybe started with our generation. Or maybe the generation just ahead of us, and maybe it's trickled down. But like the inclination to fixate on stuff like that, like fairly specific, you know, topic within a topic, you know, to fixate on that stuff was something that I was already inclined to do. So when I saw that he was doing the same thing, I embraced it. You know, there wasn't any hesitation. Like, what is this guy doing writing about, you know, Snarf?
It was like, why hasn't anyone written about Snarf?
Why hasn't
before?
This happened? Yeah. Why hasn't anybody done this before? So he did it. And maybe somebody else was doing the same type of thing before him, but I never encountered it, you know? So he was that was the turning point, not only for, I think, that industry or that medium, but definitely for me.
Yeah.
And from then on, like I spent that entire day and pretty much that entire night, and actually like several days after that, because I was on school break I was only working, you know, a few days a week part time. So I absorbed like virtually every post on that site in a matter of days. And I think by the end of that week, I had decided, yeah, that was like a Monday. By the Friday of that week, I had started Restless Youth.
Restless hyphen.
Hyphen youth. Because restlessyouth.com was taken. Oh. All one word was taken, yeah.
Hyphens and URLs, that was a big no-no.
Yeah, but there wasn't any question about it to me. Like,
it's retro now, though.
Putting a hyphen in there.
That'd be cool to do now.
Yeah, how about an underscore? Can you do underscores?
I don't know if you can.
I don't think you can.
So you started Restless Youth, and I remember we met, you know, around the time that you had started it and were actively writing it. And I remember thinking that it was really awesome because I had, at that point, I had learned about X Entertainment, and I saw, you know, the similarities. And I was like, man, I didn't know you could do this. Like, I didn't realize, I think at the time I was still kind of like, so anyone can like do something like this? Like, how are you getting pictures of TV on your website?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That totally
I used to get all
mind.
Sorts of emails about that too.
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing these screen caps? And I was really like driven to do that too. For the first like maybe 6 months, I didn't have that capability.
Oh, that's
and
killed
it
you.
Frustrated me to no end because I would, again, going back to those minuscule details, like, you know, I want to reference this specific scene and this specific shot.
And that's before like YouTube or Google or anything to where, I mean, now you wouldn't even need, like, you could find anything you want pretty much visually on the internet.
Somebody has
reference.
Probably already screen capped virtually any scene you want.
Exactly. Yeah. And if they haven't, it probably is on YouTube and you can screen
just do
cap
it yourself.
And man, I used to like, cause when I did start doing a blog and trying to do articles like that, it drove me crazy that I could not get the imagery I wanted. And so more often than not, the stuff that I wrote involved me taking pictures of myself doing it to get the effect that I wanted. But anyway,
convey your,
but you eventually found a device.
I got a tool called like Snapit or something. Snappy.
Do you still have it?
Snappy. I probably donated it or something.
Oh, that's crazy. Crazy.
I hope, you know what, having this conversation, I hope I still have it like in my parents' closet
That'd be
or
excellent.
Something.
You need to find it.
Yeah, it was this little dongle that you hooked onto the back of the PC. Like it had like the little VGA thing. You would shove that into one of the ports and then you would plug a VCR or, you know, whatever kind of output you wanted into it. And then it had software that would like display this tiny, tiny, like 1-inch by 1-inch square that would show you a clip of what you were playing on the VCR, whatever your input device was. And you had to just sort of hope that you timed it right, that you would get the actual shot that you wanted. Yeah. Oh man. But that was like a major frustration. And then the other major frustration was like one of my favorite. My favorite type of post on X Entertainment came to be these sort of like mini adventures that Matt would go on. Like he would go to the Jersey Shore boardwalk and stuff, and he would document his journey and like all the absurd stuff that he would come across.
Yeah.
And I loved those posts. And so I would try to do similar stuff, either, you know, going on like a journey or something. I did one where I searched for the 12-inch Bossk action figure, the Star Wars 12-inch dolls, you know, like I desperately wanted to find a Bossk, and I'm like, oh, this is a good fodder for Restless Youth. But or I would just want to do something where I wanted to get my reaction, like make myself a character in the post. But I never had anybody around to take photos, so I would have to like hold the photo out and hold the camera out and take a picture and pretend like it was, you know, a staged shot or something.
You could have called me.
I should have.
I definitely should have, man.
I used the timer so much that summer.
I was an avid reader. What do you think? Can you think of like what your favorite blog post or article was from Restless Youth?
From that, I loved the one that I probably put the most work into was, I think, maybe my second or third post. And it was like a top 10 list of my favorite theme park attractions.
Nice.
And it was like back in the period where there weren't a whole lot of like fan sites about theme parks. And if you did have them, they were like just very basic, like, I love Disney World. Here's a link to Disney World's website. You know, like there wasn't a whole lot of like writing about the experience, you know? So that's what what I focused on. And again, fixating on like the little details, you know, like I love this particular water effect. Mm. It's so great, you know. That one, and then I did this essay on the Cobra Kai from Karate Kid.
Oh, nice.
That I never actually archived it, the text or anything from it. So when I lost that site, like I eventually let the hosting expire and I didn't back up everything.
You might still be able to get it.
The Internet Archive. There's a lot of it that's archived there. But fortunately, I found somebody's MySpace page a few years later. Somebody had copy and pasted the entire thing onto their MySpace page. And I was so happy to find it that I didn't even bother like emailing the guy and being like, dude, that's my shit. You know, I just copied and pasted it.
Oh, so he was posting as though he had
written it. Oh. Yeah.
And I thought it was in tribute.
I guess this is a fair exchange, you know. Wow. He has saved
me. Right, he saved it.
Yeah.
You left it to die. He picked it up.
Yeah, so that was probably, those two are the ones that come to mind as my favorite.
I remember really, and this may have been like the final iteration of that site, but I really liked the theme park map navigation.
Oh, yeah. God, that was so great.
Wasn't that like the last?
That was, no, actually, that was, that early? That was maybe the second or third iteration. So what it was, like I divided the site into categories. So I had stuff that was like, I had like the posts, you know, like articles. I had a section for like updates or, you know, like news, what eventually became kind of the blog area.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I had like a webcam. So I had that in a section. This was right around the same time that the webcam phenomenon started. Yeah. So I had that and I categorized it as a theme park. I put up a map of the Magic Kingdom and I doctored the lands so that they were like, you know, cam portal land or update land or whatever. Yeah. My favorite part of that was that I used a monorail as like the navigation on all the pages. So when you weren't on the main map,
that was like a little. The cursor was the cursor a monorail?
No, I don't think the cursor was. I don't think I did anything with the cursor.
No cursor,
but like the top nav on the other pages was a monorail, and I put different sections on each car of the monorail.
Well done.
I thought, oh, so good.
It was important.
Yeah,
I mean
the details were very important.
Like things eventually became very templatized. Mm-hmm. You know, in blogging platforms, and I think they're getting a little bit better now. Like for instance, to plug the site that we use for the archive, the Squaresoft,
Squarespace. A valued sponsor, soon to be sure.
Squaresoft is a company. They make video games.
Yes.
Cut that out. Squarespace, which I use for my blog too.
And I use it for my portfolio.
And they're great. They're great platform. The software is awesome. And I've never used blog software where the templates were better than anything I could do.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
visually.
Yeah.
Like I love the aesthetics of their
templates.
And so that's nice because for, you know, up until that, until them, you know, the like WordPress and
Blogger
and LiveJournal and all these sites, you know, it's just sort of crap.
Regimented, very,
Or it's so open source that it's absurd.
Yeah, yeah.
but before all that, you know, you had to put a lot of work into, well, you didn't have to, but I know that I put a lot of work into making it look how I wanted to look. And I loved redesigning the site.
Yes.
Like I do it every few months probably.
Oh man, I know. That's why I wanted to set aside like weeks.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah,
where I could do nothing but just dive in and work on that.
I think you also had one where the buttons were like horror titles or something. And it was like a part of your face in there or something maybe.
I did the horror one. I did the Spielberg one.
I don't remember the Spielberg
one. I loved the Spielberg one because it gave me the excuse to play with the type treatment.
Yeah.
So that each one, like I would have like an ET screen and use the ET font, okay, you know, yeah, for the header. And then I had like a Back to the Future one that could use the Back to the Future, yep, font. So I loved that one.
So Drewtopia, when it came to be, it was the initial designs. I went through a few. I had one where it was like bits of paper that had been ripped off, mm-hmm, and type like typewriter type, and then the paper had been ripped off and put on the page, sort, mm-hmm, of thing, like, mm-hmm, just set on it, right? And I also had sections. I had like, I very creatively called them writings, drawings, and I think, and miscellaneous was my other one. And I tried, you know, I wrote a few articles sort of in the vein of X Entertainment, mm-hmm, Restless Youth, where I remember one I wrote, I think it was at the store, and I saw a video game called Typing with the Dead. And it was a modification of a game that already existed called House of the Dead.
I remember this.
And House of the Dead was a shooter game where you'd shoot zombies, right? Uh-huh. And Typing of the Dead modified the original game so that you use this peripheral for a keyboard that I guess attached to your PlayStation or something. Mm-hmm. And it was keyboarding. You would type words to kill zombies, like type carrot and you'd shoot your gun.
Right.
I was like, it blew my mind. I could not, like, A, I couldn't believe it existed. And B, I couldn't believe it was available, like,
yeah,
locally. And so I was like, this is perfect. This is perfect. I'm going to write an article about this. It's going to be so great. And of course, you know, I get home and I write the article. I just, like, in a flurry, write the whole thing up. Mm-hmm. And now I need visuals. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? I got nothing. How am I going to – I have no access to the game, you know, because I didn't buy it.
Right.
And so I think I managed to find two, you know, minuscule screenshots off the internet.
Yeah, like 100K. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I guess those will do. And I was really happy with that article despite that. The other one that sticks out in my mind most as articles go was so stupid. I guess I was just trying to come up with something to write, and I was actually in my mom's apartment, and she had this, it was like a magic eight ball, but it was painted red, and it was, instead of eight, it said nine lowercase I, and this was a little, you know, throwaway gift that the company Oracle, the, you know, database company,
uh-huh,
gave away at conferences. So my mom had gotten this at a conference. So it was a magic eight ball, but it was, you know, branded, mm-hmm, to be Oracle, which makes sense, right?
Sure.
Oracle. And I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll ask this thing questions and I'll write an article about the answers I get. Uh-huh. And this is another situation where one of the other reasons I did this is because I can produce visuals myself. Like, I can just take photos of me,
right, right,
doing stuff with this ball. And so, you know, through the course of the article, I'm asking it questions and I'm getting increasingly angry with its answers.
Uh-huh.
And like, I think the last photo is of me about to throw it out, you know, out of the window. So I put that online, you know, and I'm pretty pleased with it. And then I don't know how much how much later after posting it this happened, but I got this huge packet in the mail. It was like Manila envelope, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, what is this? And I open it up, and it's a cease and desist letter from Hasbro or Mattel.
Uh-huh.
Mattel, I think, made the Magic
Eight Ball.
And it was this thing of like, you know, in the website drewtopia.net at the URL/, you know, the Oracle Nine Eyeball. you wrote blah 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 blah, and this is not an approved artifact
reference,
you state yourself this is clearly a ripoff of a Magic 8 Ball, please remove this article from the internet, etc.
Wow,
I know, I was blown away, and I for various reasons, like, how, first of all, somebody found my website,
found that article. Yeah,
you know, I don't know how, like, I assume there was some legal guy who just, you know, went through the internet trying to find any and all possible infringements.
Yeah.
You know, on Mattel.
That was like an intern job. Right. For like 2001.
And so they found me. And I was like, well, why am I getting grief for this? I didn't make the thing.
Right.
And I took it down because I was scared. But I probably could have left it up no problem. Because
yeah, what are they gonna
do? I wrote about it. I didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know, but I was really like excited too, because like, wow, like
yeah.
That's legal action
that's
taken
awesome.
On me for my awesome article. Like, I'm really challenging, you know, the world.
It's the equivalent of the article you wrote in the school newspaper,
right? Exactly. So I'm keeping with my my trend here.
Hard hitting journalism. Yeah.
but what I did most with that blog and blogs to follow was I would, you know, like I said, write blog posts, but eventually I got bored with writing just updates of like, mm-hmm. I went to school today or I went to class and I, you know, we talking about this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'd get those surveys, right?
Oh, like yeah.
Name, birthday, yeah. Favorite color.
Last song you listened to.
Root beer or cream soda. Yeah. What are you wearing right now?
Who's the last person you hugged?
There's a few of those that I read that were on the Internet Archive that I was just like, oh my God, what is wrong with me? These answers are so stupid. Like, because I would be like, oh, I'm not going to answer this seriously.
You're doing a smart ass answer.
Yeah. But anyway, when I wasn't doing that, I started to be like, I want to do more creative stuff with this. And so every once in a while, and I would do this really sporadically, otherwise it didn't really work, I would write a blog post that started off sounding like just a standard, or it started off sounding like a story that took place in reality, where I'd be like, mm-hmm. I was delivering pizzas tonight, and I was heading down this one road, and there were a couple of cop cars like parked next to a house, and I just kind of went past them and, you know, delivered the pizza, but when I came back, they were, you know, shining flashlights into the window, and so I'd go on and on,
right?
With this like seemingly real a blog post, and then eventually I'd find a moment where I could totally like turn it to be something absurd.
Yeah,
so
you would be like, and that's when the clowns came out.
Or,
yeah,
it's usually a monkey, like because this narrative continued on to where. But it was like, and that's when I saw a spider monkey, you know,
right.
Jumping at me, and then it would go into complete fantasy, right?
Yeah.
And it, within these stories, I probably did two or three. There was the chief antagonist was a spider monkey with a top hat, I think. And my Jeep Cherokee that I owned at the time was a transformer, and I could I could control it by. I had a little remote control. And the first one I wrote was like, I was delivering pizzas and I went to this house and like knocked on the door. No one answered. And the door was actually kind of ajar. So I peeked my head in and I said, hello, pizza guy. And that's when I noticed that all the furniture was turned over. And I walked in and sort of looked around and I turned and there was a spider monkey. And then I ran for my life. And, you know, I threw the pizza at him. I ran up the stairs and I pulled out my remote control. Which was voice activated. I said, Super Jeep Robot, go. And I heard the thrusters kick the Jeep up into the air as it backed up towards the window. And I ran and, you know, jumped through the window into the open trunk and flew away safely. You know? And it was so great because I nearly always, like, people would comment, like, oh, man, I had no idea, you know, I thought this was real.
And so, I loved those. I remember reading those and seeing, your mom would post on there, and she would be like, I was so totally believing this until that one point. Yeah, they would sound, like, so angry and frustrated that
I had to, like, it was really hard not to post them all the time. Like I,
yeah, yeah.
There's a thing where I could do it maybe twice, you know, once every 6 months or something.
Yeah.
Or else it would be clear what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
People would catch on.
And even I think after like the third one, I was like, I probably can't do this again. This is probably it, you know, but I really enjoyed those. And then the other thing I started doing was, I started writing as characters.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's where the characters that I eventually made into a comic book came. The comic, which became the Chronicles of the Wavecutter, which is about like seafaring people in like the 17th century. So I originally wrote a lot of that as like journal entries,
mm-hmm.
And made up all those characters. And then eventually when I was trying to come up with a comic idea, I was like, oh, I should use those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that became Chronicles of the Wavecutter. and I also tried out like a space station character once, but I only did a couple of those. But that was the most fun I've had, I think, blogging, was when I was doing more creative writing type stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that was kind of, oh, the third character was Evil Drew. It was so stupid. But Evil Drew would, you know, pop up every once in a while. You could tell it was him because it was red font. And like it would be a blog post, blah, blah, blah. And then Evil Drew would say something snarky or mean and be like, shut up, Evil Drew.
Same chords that I stole from a song that I once heard. Same melody I borrowed from the void, but rather observe the structure and narrative. The characters are thin, the plot does not develop, it ends where it begins. Screen and paperbacks and section 80 cul-de-sacs. Electro-haikus and drunk sonnets are moving me along, along.
Did you have anything that followed Restless Youth?
I did eventually. After that, I started
how
to go into...
How long did Restless Youth go?
Oh, like 4 years. It was on for a long time. It saw me through some rough days,
yeah.
You know? Like, that was my refuge for a long time.
Yeah.
That sounds so stupid, but it was. It was...
No, I don't think
and I actually ended up getting, like... You know, I never got a cease and desist letter. I never got anything, like, huge like that, which would have been awesome. You know, William Zabka never contacted me and was like, man, thanks for the Cobra Kai tribute. Well, I take that back. I did have one really cool experience come out of it. I had written about my favorite book, which is The Dangerous Lives of Altar Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was out of print at the time, and the University of Georgia Press was going to reprint it.
Mm.
And somebody who was working at the press at that time, I guess researching the book and looking for reviews and stuff, found my post and said, hey, can we use this? Can we use your quote in one of our press materials?
Nice.
And I was like, yeah, that's absolutely awesome, man.
That's very cool.
And actually through that, my name got passed around. Like, I never actually figured out how this chain worked, but I assumed it had to come from this person. But David Levithan, who is he's an editor and a writer for a lot of young adult fiction,
mm-hmm.
and he's the editor of this, or was, I don't know if he still does it, but this imprint for Scholastic Books called Push,
uh-huh.
and they do these very kind of gritty, very hyper-realistic young adult stories.
Uh-huh.
So there's like no fantasy elements or anything in them. It's like really organic stories. That's what they focused on.
Yeah.
But he contacted me and he's like, hey, I don't really know exactly how I got your email, but I'm told that I should talk to you about your writing. And so I sent him some short stories and he wrote me the nicest response, like this really wonderful comments. And
yeah.
I still use one of his quotes on my like portfolio now because it was like such a nice comment about
wow.
me. But at the time he was like, I'm really looking for, you know, fiction and novel length, you know, something that can be packaged
yeah.
as a novel. And at the time I really had nothing to offer him in that regard. So I sort of fell out of contact with him. But that experience came out of that.
Wow, that's great.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah. But after that, I got into the thing where, like, Restless Youth, I sort of felt like I never fully converted it into an actual blog.
Yeah.
So I felt I need to, like, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to start a blog, I want to do something else, something new, you know? And yeah. So I did Restless Youth for, like, 4 years, and then I started doing, like, topical blogs.
Okay.
And I think the first one of those, I think, was the horror blog I did called Blackest Eyes.
Ooh.
Which was a reference to Halloween.
I remember the name.
In Halloween, Dr. Loomis refers to Michael Myers as having the blackest eyes. The devil's eyes. Oh. So then that was my on horror movie websites, that was my moniker. That was my handle. Blackest Eyes. Yeah.
XX Blackest Eyes XX.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was
that
it?
Was it. Yeah, it was.
I don't know if
everybody's handle in those days had XX in front of it.
I don't know if I pulled that from memory or if I guessed that.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, so I did that for a little while. And then after that, I sort of exploded. I started doing all of these little topical blogs. And that really sort of coincided with moving to Tumblr, which is sort of... Their bread and butter is kind of these very niche,
focused,
yes,
content stream,
very specific, very 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 specific.
Well,
content.
After Drewtopia, the next blog that I put together didn't go as long as Drewtopia, but had very lofty aspirations. Was ne'erdowell.com.
Yeah.
Now we had spoken before about URLs, and this is a website that I ran with Brett.
Single T.
And we wanted it to be called ne'erdowell.com. We're trying
all
to figure out
word.
How do you make this work as a URL? Because I think www.ne'erdowell.com was taken.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is with the ne'er part of it, which is N-E-apostrophe-E-R, when you put it just in a URL, it looks like near.
Right.
And so we're trying to figure out how do we make this work. The one way that it could work, I think, was taken. And I realized that I could modify, I think it's the host name. So it wouldn't be www.
Right.
It would be N-E. So it was N-E dot E-R hyphen do hyphen well dot com.
Yes.
Ne'erdowell.com.
Which I thought was a stroke of brilliance.
Thank you. Brilliant in as much as like the workaround of it.
Yeah.
Horrible as a URL. Because how do you convey that to
right?
someone? Like, first of all, the word's hard.
Do you have your pen and paper? Okay, it's N-E dot, wait, W-W-W.
No. So the idea behind this, we wanted it to be a blog, but also sort of a place to collect articles and also do fun stuff. We had all sorts of ideas. So
that was more like magazine style than what Drewtopia was.
Yeah, definitely. So we had the regular blog posts, and we posted, he and I would post in different colors so you knew who was posting. Mm-hmm. And then we did a thing called, it was either called Letters to General Sal or General Sal's or I think it was Ask General Sal. And so he was a Asian gentleman famous for his chicken. and what we did is we'd write fake letters into General Sal and he'd answer them.
Mm-hmm.
It was usually some stupid answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what any of them.
Did you get a cease and desist letter from a Chinese restaurant?
Luckily, we did not. Another one was we would do fake reviews. We called them fake reviews.
Uh-huh.
And we would review anything. So one of them was we reviewed Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball, which is a video game. It's a video game where you just dress women up in bikinis and make them play volleyball. And neither of us had ever played it, but we knew it existed and be like, this will be a good fodder. And so there we did a few of those reviews and they always ended with, either we recommended it or we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We recommended it or we didn't.
it.
And so if it was a good thing, if we recommended it, God, I can't say that. There was an image of the horse from Ren and Stimpy, and he was saying, I like it very much. No. Oh, God, I got that completely wrong. The horse was, no, sir, I don't like it. And the approved one was a still from Mystery Science Theater 3000's episode, Prince of Space, where the children say, we like it very much. they're criticized for being boot blacks. And they're like, what are you doing on the streets? We like boot blacking. We like it very much. So that became our, either yes or no. And then the one that we were most consistent with doing content for was called Battle Night.
I don't remember Battle Night.
Battle Night was where we would pit two combatants against one another and let the readers vote on who would win.
Oh, okay.
And so there was basically a splash page that had an image of each contender. Like we did one where it was, what's his name? He was in Jaws.
Quint?
Nope.
Brody?
Nope.
Hooper?
Yeah. What's his name, though?
Richard Dreyfuss.
It was Richard Dreyfuss as Hooper versus Richard Dreyfuss as Mr. Holland.
Mr. Holland.
There was one that was two characters we made up. One was called Dermot Prescott, codename Insanity. And he was this weird drawing that I'd done. It was like a guy in a knight's helmet with armor, but he had a wheel instead of legs, just one wheel, and like one hand was a knife. That was Dermot Prescott. He was from the future. And then it was versus Electric Jesus or Robot Jesus.
Robot Jesus?
Yeah. And that was Robotic Jesus. So that was the one I think we did. We kept that going.
Mm-hmm.
The most the out longest. Of all those things, apart from the blog itself. Like the blog probably went the most because we would post just normal blog posts. But Battle Night was the piece of content I think that lived the longest.
Should resurrect Battle Night.
Huh?
You should resurrect Battle Night. You could totally pull people on Facebook and stuff.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Maybe it was a victim of its platform.
It was ahead of its time. Yeah.
But then, Ne'er-Do-Well, we both kind of just lost interest, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, the one thing about that and also about Drewtopia that I loved doing was I knew how to make it so that every time you loaded the page, different image would come up.
Oh, yeah.
And so with Drewtopia, I had like a little icon, a little avatar of myself. Mm-hmm. But every time you loaded it, it would be a different expression.
Mm-hmm.
And one time it was Spider-Man. and then with Ne'er-Do-Well, I made a banner image where it was Brett and I, that I'd drawn us as cartoons doing different things. Like one time we were like, it was as if you'd caught us eating. And then another time,
oh yeah, I remember that.
Brett was doing the sacrifice on me from Temple of Doom. And one of them was us as zombies. So,
man, do you still have those?
Maybe. Those probably not. They might exist on the Internet Archive.
Mm.
Oh, and that was another site that I would redesign all the time. And once I did a...
Ne'er-Do-Well.
I did a pirate theme where like it was like a scroll was the blog post. Mm. And everything was like there were flags and sabers and... Like, I just loved designing
I know. It's the best. It's the best thing. It's frustrating as hell sometimes, but it's the best.
I know we've gone long probably at this point, but I want to talk about, like, from this point.
Yeah, where?
Like, so blogging was in its very early stages at that point. Like, still, you had Blogger and LiveJournal, mm-hmm. I think, were the two biggest blogging platforms, mm-hmm. right? And then WordPress came along, and that got really
big thing, yeah,
because you could write code and kind of customize it as you saw fit,
yeah,
to look how you wanted to look. And it started to go beyond just blogging software. Like companies would use WordPress to build their sites.
Yeah, and that's where it's sort of like it became sort of this standard part of a website was to have a news feed / blog.
Yeah. And then, well, when did Tumblr show up?
2006, which seems both like too long ago and too soon.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember I found out about Tumblr. My friend Marcia started on Tumblr.
Okay.
And she was like, oh, you should start a Tumblr. And I hadn't done like a personal blog for 3 or 4 years at this point. And I really wasn't sure about, you know, doing it again. But I thought, I'll try it out. And the thing that immediately appealed to me about Tumblr is the way, one, it diversified content, first of all. So, like, from the very get-go, it was like, are you posting a photo? Or are you posting, you know? So it had a greater definition of, like, the types of content that you could put up there.
Right.
And then it also, it was just really easy to use. And that's, like, right around that time, I feel, is, like, when that's sort of around the time Facebook starts getting used heavily. Twitter, I think, was released not long after that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that are happening all at once. But that was where I first noticed instances of people like posting something on their blog, on their Tumblr, and then sharing it via Twitter or posting a link on Facebook. And so that's when like the whole sharing thing started to come about.
I feel like maybe Facebook and Twitter in some ways kind of obliterated blogs.
I think there was definitely like a dry period there.
Because I think people who casually used a blog started using
Facebook for it. Yeah.
Right. So like posting statuses.
Yeah.
Or even Twitter, you know.
Yeah.
It was no longer like it served the same purpose as a blog did for them. And so for a while, I feel like the blog front was really quiet. And I think Tumblr, to some degree, revitalized it in a way that...
Sort of.
It kind of gave it a different direction.
Yeah.
You know, to where it was a different way of blogging, but it was a way that you couldn't really accomplish through Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
You know? And apart from that, I feel like now blogs exist for journalistic purposes, for writers, you know, who just want to write,
right,
or have a voice that, you know, requires an attention span beyond like Facebook or Twitter. but I have a website and it sort of has a blog. But I don't use it, you know, nearly the way that I used to. Like now I post artwork or what have you.
Right.
And I rarely post, like I've did one kind of article in quotes that in the past like several years. And it was the only time I felt compelled to write in that format. So I don't know, maybe I should like say that it kind of the drive to write a blog has been obliterated for me.
I think for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's mainly, and we talked about this in the social media episode, part of it is because I feel like no one cares about what I'm writing. You know, like who cares?
Yeah.
No one wants to know. No one's interested.
Yeah.
Who cares? So that's probably partly why I don't have that same kind of like desire to put my voice out there in the way that I did.
Yeah.
10 years ago, you know.
It's a different world.
And Tumblr, man, I can't figure it out. I still am now unsure if I need to use it or if I have a purpose for it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird sphere. It's like everything I've had my like personal Tumblr blog for probably 5 years now. And I've still never really figured out exactly what to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm constantly sort of shifting gears on it because it's the kind of thing where the platform feels really informal. And so it feels strange to be writing anything with great intent or purpose, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like all of the stuff that's just sort of off the cuff has a different venue, you know? Like I can throw out a single thought on Twitter, you know?
Yeah, there's so many channels to do quick thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, like, invest the effort into a Tumblr post or something like that. And right now what I do with Tumblr is I just clone everything from my website onto Tumblr,
mm-hmm.
simply because Tumblr has the market on, like, sharing and resharing.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's a good way to make it really easy for your stuff to kind of proliferate through the internet. You know, and I was surprised. Like, I went back and kind of looked at my Tumblr recently, and I was surprised that some things had made it past my own page, you know?
Yeah.
To some, like, really niche kind of blogs. But I think Tumblr works, right now at least, it works best with those really focused
mm-hmm.
streams, you know? Ash has, or was doing... And she should still be doing it, but doesn't. A Tumblr blog called It's Herb. And Herb is a little turkey, a little stuffed turkey doll that goes and has adventures and is photo documented. But Herb's been, like, on vacation and not taking pictures, I guess. Because since Thanksgiving,
he's on sabbatical.
Oh, that's kind of scary.
Oh, what happened to Herb?
No, maybe it was Christmas. I think he made it through Thanksgiving. That's his favorite holiday. but I think, you know, Archive listeners, I ask you to go to itsherb.tumblr.com. I think is what the URL is. And it'll be in the show notes, but, like, harp on the creator of that to get going again.
Demand more Herb.
But you have a really great Tumblr blog as well.
Oh,
a fairly successful one.
Actually, probably the most successful thing I've ever done online.
Yeah.
Like, and it was a surprise, but it definitely reinforces your statement about the minute focus, like how that can work, because I started I guess it was 2010 or 11. I started Arcade Nation, which is,
I think the name is instrumental.
I'm finding it to be. It took a while to figure that out. You know, like, I didn't want to just be like arcade, yeah. Tumblr.com, you know, but for whatever reason, Arcade Nation felt right.
Yeah.
And it sort of is a literal thing. Like, it's the content is all just arcade photos,
yep.
you know, from different arcades. I think I didn't really set out to do this, but I think the undercurrent has become, like, it's a document of a resurgence. Mm-hmm. I want to think of it that way anyway. Initially, it was sort of like clinging to the past. It was like, yeah. I'm going to post all these old photos of arcades, so I have them all in one place.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I started, in searching for those old photos, I started coming across new photos of people taking pictures in various arcades. And it's been this weird shift, and it's been really gratifying, actually, to see it go from that sort of a throwback thing to being, you know, this very, like, lively subculture that I'm watching happen.
That's awesome.
You know, as I search through this stuff.
Well, I had a recent idea for a Tumblr blog.
Oh, yeah?
But it's text-based, so I don't know how successful it would be. Mm. I kind of feel like photos are also...
They like photos, yeah.
It's easily digestible and reshareable and stuff like that. That's the problem. My main problem is that I have an idea and then I don't want to invest the effort. And usually it's because I feel like it won't be successful. But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You should do it, man.
Does Tumblr, like, in your stream, do they throw in sponsored ones?
I don't know. I've
Facebook
never seen.
Does.
Yeah. Facebook definitely does.
That
and
drives me nuts.
Twitter
what,
does.
What kind of... does Twitter do it?
Mm-hmm. They're sponsored. If you use Twitter's official stuff.
Which I don't.
Right. If you use a third-party client, you get around that.
That drives me nuts. I really hope Tumblr doesn't do that, because what makes me more angry than anything is when I am interested in it. Like, I see it, I'm like, oh
yeah.
What's that? I'm like, no! They got me! I'm a consumer. It drives
I've
me
played
crazy.
Into their algorithm.
Ugh, fine, I'll buy it. I'll I'll take two. Yes, I'm interested in this. I'll like it.
Very much.
Yeah. No, sir, I don't like it. All right, well, publish this and then put it in the archive, the internet archive. And happy reading.